All right, we're teaching on this whole idea of, what are we teaching on? We're teaching on manifesting the sons of God. It'll come to me, praise God. And we're in this area called vengeance and recompense. Very, very important message to the church today. I want to start reading the Bible at verse 14 of chapter 8, where as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Underline the word now. Praise God. All right, we're talking about, again, manifesting as sons of God, and we're in this area here we call vengeance and recompense. Now, to me, this is a major, major, major study. I mean, this is a major area that I think has been overlooked by majority of the church. And I believe that this is the reason why some of the things that have been destined to happen in our lives have not happened, because this had not gone forth. Now, I also believe that one of the reasons why it hasn't gone forth, because it hadn't been taught, that, the strength of your output is measured by your input. In other words, if the church hadn't been fed certain things or certain teachings, then the church is not going to be able to rise but to a certain level. And so I'm calling this today, as before, this is a message for grown folk. When I say that, I'm not talking about chronological now, because there may be a child or someone in here, 10 or 12 years old. They'll grab hold to this. And but it's spiritually I'm talking about. That we talked about the levels of the Word of God. And one level, of course, was no word, and that's a natural man. And then we talk about, and that person is led pretty much by demonic forces. And then we said there is a carnal man who is a baby Christian. That person is born again. That person is a part of the family of God, but pretty much ruled by the senses. You know, they get mad enough, they'll cuss you out. And they say, but they have a tendency to lay their religion down. No, I'm just kidding. But they have a tendency, really, to act under the impulses of the flesh. And that's why my wife got up here. You got to guard that flesh. I mean, you got to keep that flesh under. Paul, and nowhere in the Bible did he say that you should put your flesh under. He said, keep it under. You're going to have to do maintenance on that flesh every day. But that flesh wants to do things. It wants apple pie at 12 midnight. It wants apple pie. So you've got to tell the flesh, nope. You're going to go to bed. You're going to get some water. And you're going to go to bed. Now I'm preaching to myself. Now I'm praise God. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Because nighttime is spent that your body's supposed to be cleansing itself. And that if it has no cleansing period, then all that stuff starts caking up in your body, and that's where things happen to our body and so forth and so on. And next thing you know, we want a devil cast out. Well, it ain't the devil. I said, it's not the devil. It's that you need to close your mouth after 10 o'clock at night. Just close it. Okay? Now, let me go on with this lesson here today. I see this, y'all pulling something out of me that are not in my notes. It's not in my notes. Okay. Now, what we said here is that the church hadn't grown up, and because of that, the enemy had been resisting the church. And when I say resisting, the church really has been many times either held back, or the church has been delayed, the church has been distracted, things like that. And even to the point that I think the world has been pretty much living off the church. I really believe that many times the church is not aware of it, but that's why we wanted to start our own banks, because many times I think sometimes some of the money is being used to finance things that the church is not exactly in agreement. And if you could have your own bank, then you can determine, of course, what things the church would invest in terms of your monies and so forth like that. So I'm just saying that things were never done. Businesses were never started. Ministries were never begun, or marriages were never consummated, or consummated and not lasted, or music had never been created, whatever have you. That these things have been so because there has been a war against the church, and the church had not realized that. But now we believe this is a new day, this is a new season, that the church now, their eyes of their understanding are being enlightened. And now the church would rise and become the power that the enemy, I think, had robbed the church of for over 400 years or so. And one man said he hadn't seen a kingdom-based church. There hasn't been a kingdom-based church in history in over 400 years. So now we're talking about the local church, the local church coming back to its place of supreme authority, that there has been a force called Babylon. And I think most of you know and heard of that Babylonian influence. Well, it has been there. And as a result of that, the church has been in captivity, and I said, and many times in many places. And the church had been bullied by this Babylonian spirit. And he's dared people in the church to pay your tithes. I dare you to pay your tithes, or whatever have you. And the idea about it is that the enemy had really dared the church to come to leave the Babylonian way of doing things. And that's what it's been. It's been just a spirit that people in the church feel like, if they don't do it this way, well, I wonder what's going to happen to me. Well, God has made it so that, let me just find my notes here, because I did write something on that. Hold on. I think this is it right here. Yeah. It was a Babylonian culture, and it was a culture that was purposed to bring all societies under that culture. Let's go to a scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. Now, you don't mind if I take my time a little bit today, do you? Please, folks, don't be in a hurry. Whatever's out there will be out there after you are dead and gone. So just don't be in a hurry. No use in being in a hurry here. Now, that does not say you're about to die, but I'm just saying those things will be here when we go on, man. Look what it says in Luke chapter 4. If you got it, say, praise the Lord. And the devil taketh them up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you in the glory of them, for they had been delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now, this is kind of interesting, because the enemy wants to make people think that they are special, that he is putting them in certain strategic positions, and they feel like you know, this, that there's some great one. And the Babylonian spirit, a typical Babylonian spirit, wants to boss people. This is what, remember, I think in Mark chapter 10, the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said, let one of my children sit, my son sit on your right and the other on your left in thy kingdom. He said, well, wait, first thing, woman, you don't even know what you're asking. And he said, can they drink of the cup that I'm drinking of or be baptized at the baptism I'm baptized with? Now, what they were looking for is someone to rule over. And Jesus had to correct the theology. He said, wait a minute. He said that they that are greatest in the kingdom become the servants of everybody. That's kind of interesting. I mean, think about it now. When you get promoted in the world, or people many times, they feel like they're over somebody, it makes them feel, you know, special, elite, or whatever have you. That's fine. But in the kingdom, when you get promoted in your department, that means that you're responsible for getting up early in the morning and praying for everybody else in that department. See, you've just taken on more responsibility is what you've done. And sometimes in the world, it's look at me. Remember Moses came out of the Egypt. Remember he was raised up in Pharaoh's court and he was taught the ways of Egypt. But Jethro came to him one day. And Jethro said, Moses, if you keep managing these people like you are, you're going to live a short life. And Moses said, well, what am I doing? He said, you're trying to hear all the cases. He said, now get people who can hear these cases for you, and only you can be used to handle the hard cases. You got what I'm saying? So it's kind of interesting here how Moses had a Babylonian model. But the model that he had was not sufficient for longevity in the kingdom. That God had to change that. Are y'all with me? So what I'm saying? Okay, so the enemy wants to take people, put them in a Babylonian system, and give them some sense of their being special. And at the same time, to strip them of everything that reminds them of the culture they came from. You hear what I'm saying now? So he does that many ways, of course. The first thing he does, the Babylonian system, was to march people far away from their homeland. He'll bring them into an environment, usually of pagan worship and perversion, and on the highest order of immorality. And those who are taken, he trained them in his particular culture. Culture comes from a word, a Latin word, cultus, I think, which means I forget. But anyway, I'll remember it after a while. See, I ain't gonna even deal with it. You know what I mean? When it don't come immediately, it ain't from God. I just leave it there. So what they're trying to do is connect people onto their own gods. Now, you remember a classical case is Daniel. And Daniel, remember, and the Hebrews went into captivity. And remember that Daniel and the three Hebrews wouldn't eat the food. You remember that? So notice now they learned the language and did all these things, but there are certain things that they would not do. Now, and that was according to how their conscience allowed them. Now, they realized that their God was above the God of their captivity. And so when the time came that they were to bow down and worship when they heard the music playing this image, you notice they wouldn't do that. They said that the God that we serve, he will deliver us. So notice what Babylon was after. Excuse me. Babylon was after stripping the people from all of their heritage and their godly culture and erasing that and making the people through association come into and cooperate with a brand new culture. Now, these people, Nebuchadnezzar, or you go back to Pharaoh or whatever, the reason why they were able to hold these people is because it was not natural strength that they were holding them with. That it was spiritual strength, because all leadership is spiritual. Physical leadership is only a representation. Now, let me show you this. This is very important for you. Look over to Daniel chapter 10 for me, please. Now, notice what Satan was trying to do. He's trying to give Jesus some special position in his kingdom. But Jesus turned him down. Now, I'm saying that now because you got to grow up. This is a grown folk message. And that the enemy will try to make you think you're going somewhere just because Babylon has acknowledged you. And you got to watch that. Look what it says. Now, are y'all going to take this message and love me at the end of it? Okay, all right. I got a lot of applause over here. Over here, I didn't get hardly any. But that's all right. May the Lord be with you. All right, this is when Daniel had fasted, and Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. He ate no pleasant bread. Verse 10, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words which that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Then he went and told him, and so forth. And now he said in verse 20, "Then he said, Knowest thou, therefore, I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Now notice, he just named three kingdoms. He named the kingdom of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, or in this case, what did he say the name was? He said it was, Prince of Persia, Persia here. He started with king in Persia. But he said Persia. Then that's all right. I'm going to get it. He said then the prince of Grecia, All right? Well, anyway, let me just get to my point. My point is that it wasn't Hitler. It was the demons managing Hitler. Okay, I'm using him as an example because somewhat he was looked at as being against a lot of humanity and did some kind of atrocious things and so forth. But I'm letting you know, when these kings, when these rulers are there, and let's come all the way down, let's come to governors, let's come to mayors, let's come all the way down. All leadership is spiritual. That either they're channeling it or connected to a spirit of God, or they're connected to the spirit of the evil one. All leadership. The Bible says, pray for those in authority. Didn't it say that? Okay. All leadership. So now, what we're doing is elevating this thing to another level, because basically, the people who are normal people who don't have the Holy Ghost, who are not born again, who are really pawns being used in that system, they have no power over that system, because the natural things cannot defeat spiritual things. So the Bible tells the church that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. But against what? Principalities and powers. Okay? So now, as this is happening, and the enemy is busy trying to establish his kingdom here throughout the earth, then, Lord have mercy. Y'all stay with me now, okay? Now, this is very important. Because God has raised up the church to go out and take over those systems and become the dominant force in the world to release people from captivity that they don't even know they're in. Now, so when, let me just show you another example. Oh, have mercy. The enemy, because of God's people not having the nourishment or the food or the word that they needed and grown up the way they needed to grow up, they haven't had the discernment that it was the enemy that had kept them from having that business. Or getting that contract, or starting their ministry. They hadn't known that. They again, thinking of things only from a natural standpoint. All right, let me get. So now, I just got so many notes, I don't know what to do. Yes, I do. In Jesus' name, I know what to do. So now, as God's people, now it's time for their release. But the thing of it is that the release of God's people could not take place without the vengeance of the Lord. Meaning that God had to come in, because for you to spoil a strong man's goods, you're going to have to first bind the strong man.
The church has strength that cannot be measured, and that God is raising up the church to replenish the earth and to bring it back into order the way it was in the garden before the fall. And that the enemy has been out first to destroy the church's identity and keep the church without any influential voice, and to make people consider the church irrelevant. However, this is a set time of the favor of the Lord, and it is a time that the church shall abound in favor as never before. It's going to abound in the level of favor or grace that can turn a slave into an heir in 24 hours. Now, you got to hear me. You got to let me get this out. Before, the church has had little impact on society. I mean, the last 400 years. I mean, things have been steadily going another way. And you've seen all kinds of laws and stuff being passed and haven't figured out yet that, hey, that's part of the strong man's job to be able to influence the ones on the Supreme Court or influence, and many times we blame in people and so forth. Well, the church has got to get out of that business. When I say we're not coming to take sides but to take over, we're not taking over people. All you got to do is take over the devil and the people will change. You can put the right people in there. Now, let's look at this, because I showed you before, I showed you Israel coming out of Egypt. But let's look at our scripture first. Let's go back and look at Psalms chapter 103, please. 103. Praise God. Boy, this thing needs prayers. I'm praying. I'm preaching here. That is a fact. Psalm 103, please. Got to get Wayne here. Praise God. Psalm 103. All right. It's Psalm 103. Let me know when you get there. Say praise the Lord. I just turned you to the wrong place. Psalm 102. Yes. All right. Are you with me? Thou shall arise and what? Have mercy upon, verse 13. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Verse 16, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. So now these things have got to happen before God comes back, that the church has got to rise up and be that force that is going to be in this earth to bring forth some things in this earth to make some things happen. Praise God, I ain't dealing with that. Now, I know what I want to say, I just got to get to it. Oh, yes. All right, so what we did is we went over and showed you Pharaoh and how Pharaoh had the children of Israel in bondage, and he kept them there. But now it's set time for their release. And Moses goes down there and tells them to let him go. Well, he wouldn't let him go. He said, who is your God that I'd let these people go? Now, why wouldn't he let them go? Because they're building his kingdom. They're busy building up Satan's world system. Now God is about to judge it. Now what happens is he won't let him go. Now we come to a term called vengeance and recompense. Vengeance and recompense. Let me just find my notes. Now, I'm not going to rush. You're not going to rush me because I'm going to get this out. They're going to just have to do something with the tape because I'm going to get this out. All right? It's here somewhere. It's been hiding from it, but it is here. All right? Vengeance. All right? Vengeance has nothing to do with hate or resentment, but it is affliction that proceeds from love, love of justice. It's the necessity of punishing offenders. Now, vengeance and recompense. In Deuteronomy, Lord have mercy. Where do I have you right now? Where do I have you right now? Psalms, okay? Turn to Deuteronomy 32, please. Deuteronomy 32. Let me know when you get to Deuteronomy 32. All right, flowing. I'm flowing. I'm flowing. I'm calling it by faith. All right, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and look at verse 35. Are you there? To me belongeth what? Vengeance. And what? Recompense. All right, I won't read all the rest of it. Let's go to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Now, I'm just skipping around. There's more places. But these are the places that I just want you to get, because I want you to get this in your spirit. Psalm 94. See, I've got to teach you this because it's impossible to do what God's called us to do without it. Look at Psalm 94. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Wow. All right. Talking about lift up the earth, show the reward to the proud, and so forth. You can read the rest of it. Let's go to another place. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Now, I'm doing this for a reason. Now, I got 1 minute and 50 seconds. Now, that is impossible. Isn't that impossible? No, isn't that impossible? Say yes. All right, 1 minute. Isaiah 34. Look at Isaiah 34. See, like I said, you're either listening to one or two spirits. All right, look at Isaiah 34 and verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's what? Vengeance. And the year of what? Recompenses for the controversy of who? Zion. For the cause of Zion. Look at verse chapter 35 and verse 3 and 4. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with what? Vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. All this is prophetic, folks. All right, let's go to another one. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, because somebody might say it's not in the New Testament. Well, okay, all right. Romans chapter 12. Let me know when you get there. Are you in Romans chapter 12? And look at verse 19. You got it? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is whose? Mine. I will what? Repay, saith the Lord. Now, when he says vengeance is mine, now notice what he's saying here. You will never have to get even with your enemies. Got it? You must rest in your vindication from God by faith. Why? Because there's a danger in seeking revenge. Because when you're seeking vengeance yourself, then you're going to reap vengeance. Are you following what I'm saying? So whenever you try to obtain revenge against somebody, now you're indebted to God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Say amen to that. So he's making it so you don't have to hate anybody. Now, all you got to do is say, wait a minute, some folk did me wrong. Okay, well, it's time for vengeance. It's time for vengeance, not from you, from the Lord. The Lord is going to make sure that you, Lord have mercy, that he is going to make sure that whatever is in your life that's been resisting you, it's going to be stopped. But not only that, whatever's been stolen from you is going to be repaid. Look at another scripture. I know we want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 first. Let me read that. And then Proverbs chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 11. Stay with me. I got something for you now. Oh, yeah. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to who? Me. And I will what? Recompense. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. Vengeance, we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Now, what does the word recompense mean? Recompense means to compensate. It means to repay. It means to return an equivalent of anything done or suffered. It means to make amends. It means payday. All right? Now, we're talking about manifesting the sons of God. And if we're going to manifest the sons of God, we're talking about the fullness of the blessing. We're talking about whatever God has intended for your life to be manifested now. I'm talking about the things that he had planned for you before the foundation of the world. The businesses he had planned for you, the creative ideas he had planned for you, the health he had planned for you, the wealth he had planned for you. Come on. The music he had planned for you, the trips he had planned for you, whatever he had planned for you that has been held up by resisting forces that you couldn't see is being resisted no more. It's being stopped right now. Praise God in heaven. Now, he is saying, just don't be satisfied with freedom. He said, understand that the enemy owes you something. See, just don't be satisfied with that. He said, make him pay damages. Come on now, make him pay damages. Come on, go over with me to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Now, if you ain't happy about this, there is something wrong with your faith. Let me know when you get to Proverbs chapter 11. Are you there? Verse 31. Behold, the righteous shall be what? Recompensed where? In heaven. You're going to be recompensed before you leave here. Now, don't get mad at anybody because, are y'all ready for this? You must see this. You must. You must. You need this to fulfill your destiny. Because vengeance hasn't been preached, then the church has still been victims. But I'm saying it's a new day. It's a set time that the enemy can't hold you any longer. That the prophetic words have come into their alignment and something's got to happen. Now, let's just see here, and if you will, turn with me now to, glory to God, Psalms chapter 103, please. Psalms chapter 103. Amen. Psalms chapter 103. You don't have to get mad at anybody. Well, y'all didn't treat me right. Hey, get rid of that. Get rid of that. You don't even have to come that way. You don't have to come that way. See, this is a battle for God. But let me show you why God is going to do this. Look up here, because this is a part of the personality or the nature of God. Look what it says in Psalm 103 and verse 6. The Lord executeth what? Righteousness and what? Judgment for all that are oppressed. Now, what does the word judgment mean? What does it mean? Justice. All right? Let's go to another scripture, because I'm going to take it somewhere, and I want you to integrate this. You see, God is a God of justice. How many of you know in the Supreme Court, I guess it's there, but they have this scale, and they have this scale balance. How many of you know that? Okay, well, this is God. See, that's recompense. It says for whatever suffered wrong, that's going to have to be a payback. That's going to have to be. And for God to stay, He's God. He's a God of justice. He is not one to let things happen in your life and He not look after you. He is not one to allow things to come in your life and He not be concerned about you. Not when He calls you the apple of His eye. Not when He says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Not when He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that even rises against you, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Your divine heritage is protection. That's why Pharaoh couldn't touch Moses. He couldn't touch him if he wanted to. That's why the Nebuchadnezzar and them couldn't touch the Hebrews. That's why the Persian king put Daniel in the lion's den and the lion couldn't touch it. You see, let me share something with you. Y'all got time for a few facts? There is a fish, and this particular fish is called This particular fish is called Moses Sole, S-O-L-E. Now, this comes out of a November 1974 issue of National Geographic Magazine, page 718, if you want to know. I'm just telling you that because some folk try to check up on you. All right? Now, this particular fish, its genus and specific name are Pardocarus marmorarus, M-A-R-M-O-R-A-T-U-S, marmorarus, okay? Now, that's genus, that's its technical name. But the common name is Moses, just like the man Moses, Sole, S-O-L-E. That's the name of the fish. Now, this article shows where they had conducted an experiment because they heard about him. This took place, by the way, in Eilat, E-L-A-T, Israel. And apparently what they were doing was checking this out because they'd heard about this fish. And what happened was the shark would eat this fish. All right? And this fish was a type of flounder and a delicate flatfish or a flounder. And here is what the shark would try to eat. But this fish would now swim around, very nonchalant. And here comes the shark. Now, this was all staged and put in a big tank. And the shark comes after this fish. But the fish didn't run. And the fish was not frightened. And even when the shark opened his mouth to bite the fish, that the fish, his blood pressure didn't rise. He wasn't frightened. He didn't get anxious or anything. No, he didn't. What he did was he secreted a lethal toxic. It was a milky poison from two glands that literally what happened is once he secreted them, the shark's jaw got locked open. This shark began to get panicky because he couldn't close his mouth. Now, the fish didn't panic. He just swam on by. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you got to see what I'm saying. I'm saying this is a type of believer. Even though the old shark devil will have his mouth open to grab you, just secrete a little faith. Will lock his jaw and he cannot, come on, touch you. You know it must have been something when the three Hebrews said, hey, wait a minute. If you throw us in the fire, hey, the God that we serve, he will deliver us. That didn't sound like panic to me. That didn't sound like anxiety to me. And Satan is a master illusionist. He will make you think you got something that you don't really have because he's that good at what he does. So whatever he comes at you with, come back at him with the word of God. It doesn't make any difference who said it. If it's not from God, rebuke it and go forward and believe God for your deliverance. Are you following what I'm saying? This is a true story. All right, where was I? Let me finish this up. No, have mercy. That's one of my stories. Another one of my stories I got out of the book. Reinhard Bonnke. How many of you have heard of Reinhard Bonnke before? Had a story of him in one of his crusades. That, as you know, sometimes when you're preaching things like this, the devil tries to send witches, tries to send warlocks at your meeting to disturb your thinking, to try to make it so miracles won't happen and so forth. Well, you know what Reinhard does every time he comes on the stage, the first thing he says is, hallelujah! Well, he said it the first time and shouted hallelujah, and the witch was in the back, and she said, I can't breathe. Get me out of here. I can't. And the warlocks had to take the witch out. Couldn't breathe. I'm here to tell you, we can praise God and make the devil shut up. You can close his mouth. We can paralyze him that he won't have anything to do with your going forward. Amen. Amen. Now you see why the enemy didn't want me to get this out? See, because every time I tell you another story like this, your faith goes up just a little bit higher. No longer are you walking like some old timid. Now you walking, you say, hey, come on, you want some of me? All right. All right. Now, let me just kind of bring this to a close now. So, God executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. See? And people are oppressed and don't even know it. And the enemy is trying to stop the church from moving forward and taking its place because he knows what's going to happen. Now, let's go to Amos. Let me just tell you one more scripture here. Maybe you need to stay where you are because I ain't got time for you to find. Amos chapter 5. And over in Amos chapter 5, glory to God. Woo-hoo. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Look what it says in Amos chapter 5, verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a what? As a mighty stream. Who quoted that scripture in his speech? Dr. Martin Luther King. He was asking for one thing. He was asking for justice. Now, I'm just saying that the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt now, and now God's about to administer justice. Because if he didn't administer justice, it wouldn't be like God. God executes righteousness and justice for every person that's oppressed. Say amen to that. Amen. So now, what I wanted to show you last place, let's go to Genesis, please. And Genesis and chapter 30 and 31. Genesis chapter 30 and 31. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 30 and 31. Ooh-wee. Y'all with me, right? Boy, I'm telling you. I got the stuff here. I just got to line it up. I said, I just got to line it up. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. So it took vengeance for Moses to take his place and to get Israel set free. It took vengeance. God had to deal with Pharaoh and had to deal with the whole army because they were under Pharaoh. It took vengeance. Oh, have mercy, I didn't get a chance to go to these other scriptures, but that's all right. Okay. But notice, one day they were slaves, the next day they were wealthy. I'm just letting you know that. And this is what, not their own ability, this was God. This was, see, somebody say justice. If you do not want justice, then you should check what side you're on. God is not coming against people. He's coming against the strong man. And that's all of Satan's camp. So what he's doing is taking from Satan what he has stolen and put in his camp and hid most of it in places. And he's transferring it over to his people. Now, the reason why I want to tell you about this is what side are you on? You got what I'm saying? He's not taking it from you. You've been redeemed. He's taken from people who are still over here that hold 90% of the world's wealth. He's about to transfer it. Wall Street is on welfare, and they don't even know it. Now, as you look at this, look what it says here in Genesis chapter 30. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord. See, you got to check what side you're on. See, that's that Babylonian spirit that wants you to boss somebody, you to be more than somebody. Oh, I got more money than her. See, that's that spirit. See, that's comparing yourselves with yourselves. And Paul says, if you do that, you are not wise. You don't compare your income with me. You don't compare how much you got saved with me. Say amen to that. You let the Holy Ghost tell you how much to save. Say amen to this. That old spirit tries to get in the church and run the church and make certain people think because they got a little bit more money, they're greater than the other people and they're more important than the other people and they got a right to tell a preacher what to preach. And that's what I showed it in the first class. I told them about that prophet who was sent to tell this king, stop sacrificing those things on that altar, all that idolatry. And when he went to do that, he told him, and not only that, God demonstrated the power. And then the king pointed his hand at him and said, arrest that man. And when he did, his hand withered. And then he prayed and said, please tell God to restore my hand. And he said, God, restore his hand. Boom, restored it. And then the prophet left town, but when he left town, the kids from the older prophet saw it and went and told their dad, and he said, which way did he go? He said, it went that way. He ran and caught up with him, and the older prophet asked him, said, hey, I too am a prophet. Come home with me and have a bite to eat and so forth. He said, no, God told me, don't eat anything in this place and don't leave the same way I came. He said, wait a minute, God spoke to me too and told me to bring you home with me. And what did he do? He went home with him to eat. And when he had a mouthful of that cornbread, I guess the Lord spoke to him and said, you have violated my word. And on the way out of town, the young prophet got killed by a lion. I'm saying we are divinely protected. I'm saying when we go into a city, we ain't hooking up with nobody. Who we hooking up with is God. Now, I'm saying when God sent me into this city, he didn't let me hook up with anybody. He took me out of here to bring me back in here. And when he brought me back in here, let me tell you, he said, you do what I told you to do. And I've been doing what he told me to do. Buy a mall, buy a bank, start a water plant. I'm telling you, and every place God has protected me. Now the enemy has been after me. I ain't gonna even tell you what the enemy has taken me through. But I tell you this, I'm still standing and I'm in good shape and God is gonna take me all the way to the promises. Now, what is my word to you? If the older prophet was really doing his job, why would God have to bring in a new prophet? I'm telling you, I'm the new prophet in town. Now, let's just look at this. Are you with me? This is the last place, and I'm going to let you go. Now, I'm not painting myself as some great one, but I came here to do his will. I said, I came here to do his will, folks. And the devil tried to break me every way, come after my kids, come after my finance, come after everything. He tried to break me. But I tell you this, the God that I serve, he will deliver me. Look what it says, the last place. Now, some folk don't want to hear it, but I'm not concerned about them. I'm concerned about my obedience. Now, last place. Look what it says, verse 7, chapter 31. Now, Laban wouldn't let Jacob go, because Jacob's increase, Laban was living off of. I said Laban was living off of Jacob's increase. The fast as it increased, Laban would steal it. The fast as it comes in, Laban would take it. Because of the blessing on Jacob's life, Laban was getting rich. Why? Because Jacob was in bondage to Laban. He was in a type of captivity, if you will, if you will. Now look what it says here, verse 7 of chapter 31. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages how many times? 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. And people don't realize that Satan is busy changing wages. See, the moment you get a raise, here comes something go up for you. Say amen to that. He's busy shifting wages now. But look what it says here in verse 9. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and gristle, or spotted. And the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thy eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and gristle. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. I have seen everything, all of it. Every time Laban stole from you, every time he defrauded you, every time he swindled you, every time he cheated you, every time he worked you and didn't pay you, every time that he charged you something and it was overcharged, every time heaven kept the log. And you don't need to keep the log. Heaven kept the log. You don't need to keep the account. Heaven kept the account. I'm just letting you know that it's a day of recompense. When you come out, you are not coming out empty. I'm telling you, start expecting, because God has some stuff for you that Satan is still holding in his system. He made the money off of you. Now is payday. And it's coming back to you, because we got to preach this gospel, get the job done, let Jesus come on back, and we can go home. Say amen to that. So what did I do? I took that last scripture, and that last scripture is found in Psalms chapter 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. Now, let me tell you something. I didn't go into it this time, but I will next time, if God willing, praise God. Psalm 110 says that this is going to be the day of his power. I said, this is going to be the day of his power. And also it says in Psalm 66 and 3, through the greatness of thy power, the enemies shall submit. In other words, when through the greatness of thy power, thine enemies submit themselves to thee. So the enemy's going to submit when he sees some power. And the power is coming out of the local church. And what has happened is people have tried to divert the power from the local church. And that is not God's order. True enough, he sends out evangelists. True enough, he sends out apostles, so forth and so on. But the power system, glory to God, that the anointing, oh Lord Jesus, help me say this. That the power should be on display in the local church. And I'm talking about people who come into local church. The church should be a spiritual powerhouse. It should be the manifestation of the power that manifests the sons of God. It should be a place where everybody gets released. It should be a place, because power is a principal requirement for release of God's people. The enemy knows you need power, and he's tried to do things to keep the power from happening. But now is the day of his power, and his power is coming in. And what you're going to see is you're going to see healings on another level. You're going to see healings taking place during the service and even during the praise and worship. You're going to see physical disorders and mental disorders heal. You'll see every disease of every kind heal. You'll see pain ending. You'll see eating disorders degenerate. You'll see inappropriate sexual activities cease. You'll see the eye, ear, nose, and throat come into order. You'll see cancer fall. You'll see healing being manifested in the brain, healing on the feet, healing in your teeth. You'll see high cholesterol go down. You'll see diabetes removed. You'll see sugar in the blood come into line with the Word of God. You'll see HIV, sexual disorders all heal. You'll see all that the enemy has put on joints and diseases, on bones, all of that is healed. You'll see all the schizophrenia and bipolar activities heal. You'll see post-traumatic disorders heal. You'll see all the things that have nerve endings, pulmonary disorders, including all the asthma and all the emphysema heal. You'll see all broken bones heal. You'll see any kind of things that are needed to replace parts that are broken heal. You'll see creative miracles on another order. Why? Because today is a day of his power. It is a time for the power to come back into the church. It is a set time of God's favor upon God's people. He will beautify the meek. Ashanda. This is a set time. Oh, glory. Take your seats, please. To see life on another level. It's called the honey level. It's where a stream passes through and everybody it touches gets healed. Oh, I tell you, God may have spoken to your heart about being born again. And thank God he did, because today
is your day of deliverance. I don't know who you are, don't know where you come from or your background that you have, but I do know this, that God has called your name. And that's why you're here. Now, whoever you are, I want to pray with you the same prayer they prayed for me years ago that brought me into the kingdom. I want to pray for you now. Right in front of all these people, here's what I want you to do. Get up out of your chair. Take a step of faith.